ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमणोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्त राधाकान्त नमोस्तुते। तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामो राम रामो हरे हरे। The 14th chapter of the Madhya Leela, performance of the Vrindavan pastimes. Gaurapashyan Atma Vrindai श्रीलक्ष्मी विजयोत्सवम् श्रुत्वा गोपीरसोल्लासम् कृष्णप्रेम्णा ननर्तसः।
Accompanied by his personal devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the festival known as Lakshmi Vijayotsav. There he discussed the super excellent love of the gopis. Just by hearing about them, he became very pleased and danced in great ecstatic love for the Lord.
So in this particular chapter, previous chapter described the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing at the Rath Yatra festival. So this chapter describes how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was served by Prataparudra Maharaj when he was resting in between the Rath Yatra, and then how Jagannath Ratha actually reached the Gundicha temple by the love of Srimati, by the love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who pushed the Ratha from the behind. And then after Jagannath Ratha reached the Gundicha temple, it is described about various pastimes, about how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would spend the time when Jagannath was there in the Gundicha temple. And the main thing which is actually main pastime which is described in this chapter, because of which the chapter is named as Performance of Vrindavan Pastimes, is that later how Lord Jagannath performed his pastimes in Gundicha temple. So that means the performance of the Supreme Lord in Vrindavan, how those pastimes were actually relished by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, that is described. And there is a beautiful conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar Goswami and Srivas Thakur, in which they converse about the opulence of Vrindavan and opulence of Vaikuntha. So this is in brief in this chapter, what is there in this chapter. The Hera Panchami festival is also described in this chapter. Jaya Jaya Gaura Chandra Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Jaya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Danya.
All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, known as Gaura Chandra. All glories to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Advaita Acharya, who is so exalted.
Jaya Jaya Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Gana. Jaya Shrota Gana Yandra Gaura Pranadana.
Praise to all the devotees headed by Srivas Thakur. All glories to the readers who have taken Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as their life and soul.
So when the Jagannath Ratha reached a particular place, when Jagannath was being offered a bhoga, so at that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was resting for some time in the garden. I think the Jagannath Vallabh garden, I guess. Jagannath Vallabh garden. So at that time, following the instruction of Sarvam Bhattacharya, Prataparudra Maharaj dressed himself in a very ordinary clothes. He gave up the clothes of a king and he dressed himself as an ordinary Vaishnava. Yes, and then he entered the garden in order to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prabhupada actually, we'll see, this is a very elevated pastime in which Prataparudra Maharaj describes the, he'll chant the Gopi Gita. But here Prabhupada gives a purport which is very contemporary, which is more relevant to the Hare Krishna devotees, especially Prabhupada was talking about in the 1970s. So there some devotees were asking about, should we go for book distribution in the karmi clothes? If we go for book distribution in the devotee attire, many times people actually keep a distance and then they feel uncomfortable to buy books from the devotees who are in devotional clothes. So then devotees put forward this question to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada is writing a purport here. He says that for the sake of distributing books, for the sake of propagating the Krishna consciousness movement, one can change the attire, one can take up the karmi clothes, and there is nothing wrong in that, provided because we are doing it for the right purpose. When our members change their dress to meet the public or to introduce our books, they are not breaking their devotional principles because they are following the real principle of spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. And if one has to change into regular Western dress for this purpose, there should be no objection. So you see this point, Prabhupada is actually focused on the essence is actually to preach, to propagate the. So for that sake, if we have to sometimes change the external attire, it is all right. But otherwise, what are the benefits of actually wearing a Vaishnava attire? It means like dhoti, kurta, saris for the women. People, they can, by seeing the Vaishnava attire, they can remember the Lord. Okay. It will help us also because they feel that I'm in a devotee attire, therefore I'm supposed to behave properly. It protects us also. That's important. The dress can actually help us to maintain right consciousness. Yeah, that's true. So these are some benefits of devotional attire. For the purpose of what Prabhupada is mentioning is that, but in certain regions, certain times, like when we have to change the attire for the purpose of preaching. So you see that dhoti, kurta, saris, they are like Indian dress, Vedic dress. But Prabhupada introduced them in the West because our attire also helps us to develop mode of goodness. Certain dress themselves are in the mode of passion and ignorance, and they can actually influence a person to go into mode of passion or ignorance. But in the case of certain dress, they can help us to come to the mode of goodness, but ultimately the essence of the Vaishnava mood and the behavior, that is the most important. But still the external form also helps us to maintain the mood. And sometimes a person may be in a devotee attire, but one may be actually behaving in a wrong manner. Sometimes a person may be in the attire of a non-devotee, but one may be having the right mood. That is there, but still, in general, their clothes, food, etc., in mode of goodness, they actually help us to maintain the right consciousness. So, Prabhupada actually, Prathapada Maharaj going to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by giving up the royal clothes. Prabhupada is giving this kind of purport, very practical purport, in regards to focusing on the highest principle of preaching.
So I can make one small point.
Yes.
Actually, Prabhupada is more in several places we can cite Prabhupada is on the conservative side of not using karmi clothes. Only here in this purport it appears he is giving open declaration of wearing. But now, there are many, many places. One place comes to my mind when Gurudas Prabhu as a sannyasi was wearing Western clothes. And Prabhupada was very unhappy. He asked, where is your dhoti, kurta and your danda? These symbols are very important, Prabhupada said. So Gurudas Prabhu was telling him that, Prabhupada, there are many superficial people and they attach a lot of importance to the externals. So externally, if we look like them, it's easy for us to preach to them. And Prabhupada replied that superficial people are superficial anyway. And we are not looking for such superficial people. We're looking for deep people. And when deep people will look for substance. And if they find substance in you, they don't care for what type of dress or shikha you keep. If they see that the sound coming from your mouth is full of substance, then they will accept you. Immediately he went and changed and came. Changed to sannyasi dress and he came. This is one instance comes to my mind. Another instance is given in my glorious master book, our Burujan Prabhu gives. So there were two groups of devotees. One group of devotees, they would wear karmi dress and go to distribute books, Prabhupada books. And another group of devotees left the temple and went to farm to do reading and chanting. Because they were saying that the city life is very passionate and we cannot advance. So we should better that we go to recluse and study. So this group complained to Prabhupada about that other group. And Prabhupada was telling this group, you are complaining about them, but they are at least distributing my books, wearing this karmi dress. But you are only complaining, you are not distributing any books. Like the Prabhupada, that was one point he said. Another point he said was, I will certainly correct them that they should wear devotee dress. At the same time, the goal should not be forgotten. Books should be distributed. So what happened in all the discussions was, whenever some devotees very adamantly wanted to wear karmi dress, they would put this bomb in front of Prabhupada. Prabhupada, nobody is buying books when you go in devotee attire. Then Prabhupada will say, okay, then if you have to wear a... And Prabhupada dramatized and showed. You wear a coat, suit and go with a suitcase. And somebody says, my dear sir, what do you want to talk to me? Then you open the suitcase and show a book. Show my book and you sell the book. You may do that, Prabhupada said, if it is absolutely necessary, if there is no other way, he said. So then what we have to do in Prabhupada's books is, sometimes he says this, sometimes he says this. Which one to take? We take an overall picture. And while taking overall picture, we try to see Prabhupada is on which side more. That if you see, 75% of the instances say that he says, a devotee, Harikshna devotee should go in a devotee dress. And karmi dress may be dangerous for them, especially when they encounter Maya. Like one brahmachari wore coat, suit and a cap also. He went and showed some books. One Mataji took some 10-12 books. She took. And then he asked, donation? He asked. She said, I have nothing. If you want, you can sleep with me, she said. And my Lord, he removed his cap and showed. And he ran away from that place. So one will encounter this kind of instances if one is going in karmi dress. And it gives us an opportunity to cheat. Like some brahmacharis in our ashram also ask, Prabhuji, should I go home in pant shirt or should I go in this dress? You should go in this dress. No, but parents say, don't come in this dress to home. Then don't go, let them come here. Let them come and become devotee. So in this way, we take a conservative side and go to the extreme side only for the newly arrived devotees like Yellow Brigade who still have some hair. Once a person becomes white, saffron, after that we have upper hand in spiritual platform. We should try to pull everybody to our side.
Thank you, bro. Yeah, it's important to... Other instances where Prabhupada emphasized, she mentioned there are many instances where Prabhupada emphasized the importance of wearing the devotee clothes. They also have to be taken into account. I think that famous pastime which comes in Leelamrita also, that Prabhupada was going on a morning walk and he told the devotees, so somebody, one boy was actually passing stool. So he said, he doesn't change his standard, his habit. So why should we change like that? He said something. Next verse. So Pratapuradhara Maharaj, he was going to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but first he took permission of all the devotees and in a very humble mood, he approaches Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Seventh verse. Anki Moodi Prabhu Preme Bhumite Shayana Nripati Naipunyekare Padasam Vahana.
As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lay on the raised platform with his eyes closed in ecstatic love and emotion, the king very expertly began to massage his legs.
Rasalilar shloka padi karena stavana jayati tedika madhyaya karena patana.
the king began to recite verses about Ras Leela from Srimad Bhagavatam. He recited the chapter beginning with the words Jayati Te Dikam.
So when Pratapada Maharaj started singing the Gopi Geet, Jayati Te Dikam, Janmana Vraja, from those verses, Mahaprabhu immediately became ecstatic. He was pleased beyond limit, Santosha Apara. And he again and again told the king that please go on reciting. And then when the Pratapada Maharaj came to sing, started singing this particular verse, Tavakatamritam Tapta Jeevanam, that time the Lord actually embraced him. And Mahaprabhu said that, you have given me invaluable jewels, Amulya Ratna. And actually, I don't have anything with me in order to give something in return for your invaluable jewels. Only thing which I can give it to you is that I can give my embrace. 12th verse. Eta boli sei shloka pade bara bara. Duijanara ange kampa netre jaladara.
After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to recite the same verse again and again. Both the king and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were trembling and tears were flowing from their eyes.
So, this particular verse. Tavakatamritam tapta jeevanam kavi biriditam kalmashapaham shravanamangalam srimadatatam bhuvi grinantiye bhuridajana.
My Lord, the nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and the soul of those who are always aggrieved in this material world. These narrations are transmitted by exalted personalities and they eradicate all sinful reactions. Whoever hears those narrations attains all good fortune. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with a spiritual power. Those who spread the message of Godhead are certainly the most munificent welfare workers.
So we discussed the two explanations of this verse, the 10th canto. One is a direct explanation, another is the Vyaja Stuti. The indirect explanation or Vyaja Stuti, criticism, the praise in the form of a criticism. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately embraced the king and cried, you are the Bhurida. But this verse says that Bhuvi Grinantiye Bhurida Jana. That means those people who are most munificent, they travel around the world in order to distribute the Krishna Katha. Bhuvi Grinantiye Bhurida Jana. In the Vyaja Stuti, there was a point which is explained is that those who speak Krishna Katha, they are committing mass genocide. They travel to different places and they are actually committing mass genocide. So here it's explained. So you are, Mahaprabhu is actually glorifying Pratapada Maharaj. You are the Bhurida. And then actually at this time Mahaprabhu did not know who he was. Of course, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul, he knows that. But still, in the past time, the Lord actually, in the past time potency of the Lord, Lord does not know who this person is. So Mahaprabhu's ecstasy, mercy was aroused because of the king's previous service. We'll recite this verse, 15th verse. Purva seva deki tanre kripa upajila anusandana vina kripa prasada karila.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy was aroused because of the king's previous service. Therefore, without even asking who he was, the Lord immediately bestowed his mercy upon him.
Ei deka chaitanyera kripa mahabala ತಾರ ಅನುಸಂಧಾನ ವಿನಾ ಕರಾಯ ಸಫಲ.
How powerful is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Without even inquiring about the king, the Lord made everything successful.
So these two verses talk about the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because we have previously discussed that how Prataprada Maharaj made several attempts to get the audience of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually refused on several occasions. But this verse shows the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It shows that how anybody who renders service to Krishna, that service to Krishna never goes in vain. Because Pratapadra Maharaj rendered that service of sweeping the floor before the Lord Jagannath's cart in a right attitude. So that service never went in vain. He got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this purport, Prabhupada gives 5 quotations which talk about the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The first quotation is Neha Bikrama Nashosti. So Prabhupada says that any service to Krishna never goes in vain. He will get the mercy of the Lord. Pratapada Maharaj, because he rendered service, so he got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The second quotation which Prabhupada quotes is that is in the third paragraph or the fourth paragraph, that is Prabhudanand Saraswati's verse, Yat Karunya Kataksha Vaibhavavatam Tam Yevam Gaurastumaha. That verse. How Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is so unlimited. Karunya Kataksha Vaibhavavatam. When a little of Mahaprabhu's mercy serves as a great asset for spiritual advancement. And the third quotation to show the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvashe Namaha. And the fourth quotation is from the songs of Lochan Das Thakur, that is Parama Karuna Pahuduijana Nitai Gaurachandra. The fifth quotation is of the song from Narottam Das Thakur's bhajan. Vrajendra Nandanayai Sachishuta Hailasai Balarama Hailanitai Dina Hina Yatachila Hariname Udarila Tarasakshi Jagai Madai. Jagai Madai are the proof of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. How Mahaprabhu is so merciful to the fallen people. So these 5 quotations are explained. And also in the third paragraph, Prabhupada explains about the need of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy in order to advance in devotional service or for quick progress. The need of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when a person, so this is a very important point, because one may, like, there may be different people who practice devotional service in Kali Yuga also. But especially those who get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they can make quick progress. We discussed this previously also, that how even if a person wants to go to the abode of Lord Ram or Vaikuntha planet, But their desire, their goal will be fulfilled more quickly if they actually start worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if they start serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or if they get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is why the mercy of, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we see instances where Anupam, or with respect to Murari Gupta, they were all devotees of Lord Ram. Although they were devotees of Lord Ram, they were very much attached to, I think that will come later, or I think Anupam, and also Murari Gupta was a devotee of Lord Ram. Although they were very much attached to the glories of Lord Ram, but still they worshipped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They accepted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord. So therefore, they could achieve their goal fast. Therefore, this purport is important. So Prabhupada says that a student of Krishna consciousness must receive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, then his devotional service will quickly succeed. And this was the case with King Prataparudra. One has to be noticed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and a little service with sincere efforts will convince the Lord that one is a proper candidate for returning home back to Godhead. So especially in order to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how do we get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? One way is to actually by following his instruction, by serving the preaching mission. Shivaram Maharaj, I think, writes in his book also. He mentions that there are two ways to attain perfection, through sadhana and kripa. And especially in Kali Yuga, the capacity to perform sadhana is actually very less. In the Kali Yuga, the kripa becomes, I think Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj writes this point, kripa becomes a more important factor than the sadhana, because the capacity to perform sadhana is less. And how do we get the mercy of the Lord? And for that, especially the point of serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that means taking part in the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taking part in the preaching mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by trying to spread this message, then because we are fulfilling the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we get the mercy of the Lord. And when we get the mercy of the Lord, we can make more advancement than simply by doing sadhana. So that is why, and taking part in the preaching mission means one is like directly being involved in preaching, and another is like being connected to the preaching mission. Like sometimes there will be services which are, we may have to do different things, but they are connected to the preaching mission. So on the other hand, those devotees who leave ISKCON, where the preaching of Krishna consciousness is taking place, and when they go to some other Babas or some other Swamis in order to get something like some more esoteric or higher things in devotional service, Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, etc. And when they leave the preaching mission, so that is like a very, that's not something to be, that's something to be condemned, because by being connected to the preaching mission, we are getting the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we can make actually more advancement than by doing sadhana. And from another point of view, like people say that in ISKCON, Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti is not there, we want to get something higher in some other, we want to go to some, say Radha Kunda, somewhere else, where they are going to teach me Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, and where they are going to give me Siddha Pranali Diksha, like that. But actually, if you see, who is the great Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti means what? Devotional service performed by following in the footsteps of the Ragatmika Bhaktas, that is the residents of Vrindavan. And who is the topmost Ragatmika Bhakta? Srimati Radharani. The topmost devotee in Vrindavan is Srimati Radharani. And that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has adopted the mood of Srimati Radharani. So therefore, if we are serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that means we are following the footsteps of the greatest Ragatmika Bhakta. So by serving, that means if we are serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, we are actually practicing Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. Getting this point. Because we are serving the greatest Ragatmika Bhakta by adopting the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to actually spread Krishna consciousness. In that sense, we are actually practicing the Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti only. Although sometimes people may say, this is not available, high thing is not there. Let me go to some other place where I can practice Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. No, because in ISKCON, we are spreading the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are actually practicing Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, because Mahaprabhu is the greatest Ragatmika Bhakta. He has appeared in the mood of the greatest Ragatmika Bhakta. So we have to keep this point. So Prabhupada explains the need of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At first, Maharaj Pratap Rudra did not have a chance to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but when the Lord saw that the king was serving Lord Jagannath as a menial sweeper, the Lord's mercy upon the king became a solid fact. When Maharaj Pratap Rudra in the dress of a Vaishnava was serving the Lord did not even inquire from him who he was. This shows the actual compassion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He just embraced him. And Kaviraj Goswami is saying that Ete Deka. Ehi Deka. Ehi Deka. By that he is saying that there is no comparison for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. There is no comparison for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. That is why he is actually using the word Ehi Deka. So this shows the key point is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhu kahe ke tumi karila morahita achambite asi piya krishna lila amrita.
Finally Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Who are you? You have done so much for me. All of a sudden you have come here and made me drink the nectar of the pastimes of Lord Krishna."
So Pratapada Maharaj replied, Raja kahe amitomar dase ranu dasa brityera brityakara yei mora asha.
The king replied, "My lord, I am the most obedient servant of your servants. It is my ambition that you will accept me as the servant of your servants."
So you see, it's a very... the question which Mahaprabhu asked is that, who are you? So it is a tricky question, in the sense, if Pratapada Maharaj says that, "Oh, I am the king." Because so many times Mahaprabhu had refused the audience. Refused to give audience to Pratapada Maharaj. So Pratapada Maharaj, he is giving an answer, like not in a diplomatic manner, but actually he is giving the answer like what he truly felt who he is. Not to just actually cheat Mahaprabhu, he actually truly felt like that. And then he is saying that, "I am the servant of your servants." And he is giving an answer of about the what is true constitutional position. When you say, "Who are you?" you can say that, "I am the Indian or Maharashtrian, I am an engineer or a doctor, I am a housewife," like that somebody may say. But Pratapada Maharaj is giving an answer not based on his Varnashram designation, but actually his true designation as a soul. So Prabhupada writes a very brilliant purport here. He says the essence of the purport is that the greatest achievement for a person is to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the devotees of the Lord. That is the main theme of the purport, and Prabhupada gives three examples in the purport. How Prahlad Maharaj aspired to become the servant of Narada Muni. He told Narasingadev that, "How can I leave the service of Narada Muni and then come to you?" He aspired to be the servant of the Narada Muni. And Dhruva Maharaj, he also prayed for the same thing. Bhaktim muhu prabhakatam, Twayi me prasanga, Bhuyad ananta mahatam, Amalashayanam, Yenanja solbanam uru, Vyasanam bavabdim, Neshye bavad gunakatamrita panamatta. And the third example is that the example of Kolavecha Sridhar. When Mahaprabhu asked him that, "I want to give a benediction, please ask me a benediction," he also prayed that, prayed to the Lord to be allowed to remain a servant of the servants of the Lord. The conclusion is that being the servant of the servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the highest benediction one can desire. So at that time, Mahaprabhu displayed some divine opulences to the king. But he told the king that, "Please do not disclose this to others." And actually Mahaprabhu knew within his heart who Pratapada Maharaj was, that he is the king. But actually externally he did not disclose what he knew, that he is actually the king. So when Mahaprabhu gave such mercy to Pratapada Maharaj, what was the reaction of the devotees? So that is a very beautiful verse, 21st verse. Prataparudreira bhagya deki bhakta gane Rajare prashamse sabe anandita mane.
Seeing the Lord's special mercy upon King Prataparudra, the devotees praise the king's good fortune and their minds become open and blissful.
So this verse and purport talks about the non-envious nature of the devotees who saw that how they became blissful on seeing that some other devotee getting mercy of the Lord. So that is this another beautiful concept or purport which Prabhupada is explaining here. So here Prabhupada says that sometimes certain so-called Vaishnavas, even though when they see that some other Vaishnava has been empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and is spreading the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, instead of being happy with those devotees, they actually criticize those devotees. They find fault with such a preacher who has been empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is actually something, this shows that they are actually not Vaishnavas, because the Vaishnavas, they take pleasure in others getting the mercy of the Lord. So this is like other devotees are celebrating the success of Prataparudra Maharaj. I think long back we attended one seminar, celebrating others' success. So this is a beautiful example. Is coming here. Next verse. Dandavata Kari Raja Bahire Chalila Yodahasta Kari Sab Bhaktere Vandila.
Submissively offering prayers to the devotees with folded hands and offering obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the king went outside.
So then Prataparudra Maharaj left outside, and then Vaninath Rai brought so much a prasadam for all the devotees. And Prataparudra Maharaj also sent a large quantity of prasadam through Sarvam Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai and Vaninath Rai. And there is a beautiful description from 24th verse till the 34th verse, the different varieties of prasadam which were actually brought, which were sent by Prataparudra Maharaj for the devotees. And also it is described that different varieties of prasadam which were offered to, actually different varieties of bhoga which was offered to Jagannath, that is also described. So 25th verse. Balagandi bhogera prasada uttama ananta Nishikadi prasada aila yaranahi anta.
The prasadam sent by the king had been offered at the Balagandi festival and included uncooked milk products and fruits. It was all of the finest quality and there was no end to the variety.
So you can read till the 34th verse, 33rd verse.
There were curd, fruit juice, coconut, mango, dried coconut, jackfruit, various kinds of bananas and palm fruit seeds. There were also oranges, grapefruit, tangerines, almonds, dried fruit, raisins and dates. There were hundreds of different types of sweetmeats like Manohara Laddu, sweets like Amrit Gutika and various types of condensed milk. There were also papayas and Saravati, a type of orange, and also crushed squash. There were also regular cream, fried cream, and a type of puri made with cream. There were also the sweets known as Harivallabha, and sweets made of sinoti flowers Kerpura flowers and Malati flowers. There were pomegranates, sweet made with the black pepper, sweets made with fused sugar and Amrit Jilipi. There were lotus flower sugar, a kind of bread made from urad dal, crispy sweetmeats, sugar candy, fried rice sweets, sesame seed sweets, and cookies made from sesame seeds. There were sugar candy sweetmeats formed into the shape of orange, lemon, and mango trees, and arranged with fruits, flowers, and leaves. There were yogurt, milk, butter, buttermilk, fruit juice, a preparation made of fried yogurt and sugar candy, and salty moong dal sprouts with shredded ginger. There are also various types of pickles, lemon pickle, berry pickle, and so on. Indeed, I am not able to describe the variety of the food offered to Lord Jagannath.
So you see, there are many instances where there is a description of the different foodstuffs offered to the Lord and prasadam, and as we already saw in the prasadam at the house of Sarvam Bhattacharya and Advaita Acharya's house, and then Raghav Pandit and Damayanti. This is another instance. When Mahaprabhu saw this, the varieties of prasadam, he became very satisfied. 36th verse. Yeimata Jagannatha Karena Bhojana. Yeisuke Mahaprabhura Judayanayana.
Indeed, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was fully satisfied just to see how Lord Jagannath accepted all the food.
So Mahaprabhu was just fully satisfied simply by seeing that all these were offered to Jagannath. So whatever happened was, that was just a detail in the sense. He was fully satisfied simply by seeing that they were offered to the Lord. And then it is like Prabhupada gives a beautiful purport. He quotes this Gurvashtaka's prayer, Chaturvidha Sri Bhagavat Prasadu. He says that the spiritual master, he delegates his disciples to offer varieties of foodstuffs to the Supreme Lord. And he is fully satisfied to see that Lord is being offered varieties of foodstuffs. And when he sees that those prasadam is being distributed among the devotees, and by that he becomes even more satisfied. And for himself, he doesn't want variety. The devotee wants variety for the Supreme Lord, but for himself, he just wants a simple prasadam. So these activities satisfy the spiritual master, although he himself does not eat or require such a variety of prasadam. So wanting variety means it is in the mood of an enjoyer. So because the devotee considers the Supreme Lord to be the enjoyer, he wants variety for the Supreme Lord. And for himself, he wants to adhere to a simple prasadam. By seeing to the offering and distribution of prasadam, he himself is encouraged in devotional service. So then the prasadam distribution starts. It is described that each plan was supplied 10 of the plates. Like there were 10 different plates made of the leaves of the Kaitaki tree, they were brought. Each devotee was given 10 plates. I don't know how big, maybe it may be little small plates, I'm not sure. But the 10 plates, if they are keeping around, like how they will be taking it. And in this way, the leaf dishes were distributed. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could see how the devotees performed kirtan. They must be a little tired and exhausted. They must have spent so much of energy. Mahaprabhu himself started distributing the prasadam. But although Mahaprabhu himself was distributing, but the devotees would not accept prasadam until Chaitanya Mahaprabhu starts taking prasadam. And finally, Swarup Damodar Goswami came and told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that please actually sit down, because if you don't start taking prasadam, then other devotees will not start. Then Mahaprabhu sat down. Then Mahaprabhu sat down. Then after all the devotees and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when they took prasadam, There was so much of extra prasadam was left, and that extra prasadam was distributed to the others. It was distributed to thousands of people. And there's another beautiful purport that then some more prasadam were left, and that was distributed to the beggars there. When they started distributing the prasadam to the beggars, 45th verse, Kangalera Bhojana Range Deke Gaura Hari Hari Bola Balitare Upadeshakari.
Observing the beggars eating prasadam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted Hari Bol and instructed them to chant the holy name.
So this is another beautiful instance where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling the beggars to chant the holy names while taking prasadam. So the main point here is that, so there is a beautiful bhajan of Narottam Das, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is being quoted. That bhajan says that in order to get relief from the suffering, if a person wants to get relief from the suffering, the only solution is that one has to accept Krishna as one's eternal master and think himself as an eternal servant of Krishna. So that is the solution to all the sufferings. And when a person chants the holy name of the Lord, chanting means that accepting oneself as an eternal servant of Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually telling them to chant. By that, what he is indicating is that he is telling them to accept them as the eternal servants of Krishna, and that will put an end to all their suffering. So Mahaprabhu is not simply doing encouraging philanthropy. With the philanthropy, he is telling them to, because one is like we are distributing prasadam, it is not just any philanthropy which others do. Prasadam is actually Krishna's mercy. But even in the distribution of prasadam, Mahaprabhu is telling them to chant the holy names of the Lord, which means that accepting oneself as an eternal servant of Krishna, and which will put an end to all one's suffering. So this is an important instance. Otherwise, because we do distribute prasadam, food for life is there, but sometimes one can get carried away. One can get carried away by the philosophy. One can get carried away by the philanthropy, and one should not lose focus that even if we have to do this philanthropy, when you are distributing prasadam, we should actually encourage the people to chant the holy names. Prabhupada also, I think, mentioned in other places also. So we should encourage them to chant the holy names. So that is an important thing we should keep in mind, even in distribution of prasadam. Anybody has any point? Okay. So then when the beggars chanted the holy names of the Lord,
So we read that in two places there is an imperative statement: a student of Krishna consciousness must receive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, and later also devotees of Krishna must persistently seek the favor and mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the answer that is given is one should become servant to get the mercy. It will be nice if you can tell us a couple of minutes about how do we, you know, seek the favor of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in our personal life, because we are seeing that that point was good which you made about, you know, Kali Yuga, you know, more than sadhana mercy is more important. So it's all the more relevant to our personal life. So Pratap Rudra, we are seeing till now that one observation we made is he is very anxious, you know, to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know. And another thing is, he was ready to even change his dress and go and massage the feet and render any type of service. Relieve Ramanand Rai from the job, you know, that kind of thing and all he did. So, in our personal life, I see that in the Bengali literature, We find the Vaishnavas, they have a great, they are very anxious to meet Lord Chaitanya and serve him. You know, similarly the feelings of separation and such kind of things. So the anxious part is a very difficult part, unless it develops naturally. But the service part also, is it that we just stay in the moment and go on and drink whatever service comes our way and mercy will come, or something else to be done that I wanted to know?
In the sense, one is like, one may simply stay, it's not that simply by staying in the moment can get the mercy, because one has to adopt that mood. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says that when he describes the Putana actually dressed herself as a very attractive devotee, and then but she was actually a demoness. So he explains that sometimes a person may think that he is advanced devotee because he is simply staying in a particular moment, he is connected to a particular institution. So it's simply by being connected with a particular institution, that is not the, one cannot advance, but one has to essentially adopt that mood of being the servant of the servant. So in that sense, from our point of view, as a sadhaka, it is definitely a tough thing, because since time immemorial, we have been conditioned to a certain life, like certain other attitude of being the enjoyer, not wanting to be the servant. But like one has to consciously put an endeavor in the sense. Once Saraswati Thakur mentioned that, he said that actually the Yuga Dharma is Vaishnava Seva. Vaishnava Seva is more important than even the Name Ruchi, because by serving the Vaishnavas, we can one sense get the taste for chanting the holy names. So one instance he mentioned like that. So because Vaishnava Seva is, in one sense, it is even more important, especially as I mentioned that we can get the mercy of the Vaishnavas. By mercy, we can make more advancement than doing sadhana. But even for doing Vaishnava Seva steadily, one has to have good sadhana. One has to have good sadhana. Because there are many Prabhupada disciples. I think once Malati Mataji or somebody was giving a class. They said that even if somebody is a personal servant of the spiritual master, in order to steadily do that, one has to have good sadhana. So in that sense, it's both actually interconnected. So, but the essential mood has to be imbibed. That's in one sense, Radhanath Swami Maharaj always emphasizes this point. And that verse comes from, that verse comes in a Mukundamala Stotra, Majjanmana Phalamidam Madukaita Bare Mad Prarthaniya Madanugraha Yesha Yeva Tvad Brithya Brithya Paricharaka Brithya Brithya Brithyasya Brithya Yitimam Smaralokanatha. In which Maharaj Kulashekar prays that the highest perfection which I can obtain is that when you consider me as a servant of the servant of your devotees. He mentions the word brithya 7 times, because unless a person becomes the servant of the devotees, the Lord will not accept direct service from such a person. And becoming the servant of the devotees is the quickest way to please the Supreme Lord. And ultimately, a devotee aspires to be the servant of the devotees because he is naturally humble. So we have to, in the sense, we have to consciously put an endeavor. We have to, it may be an austerity, but I think we have to consciously put an endeavor. When we get the pleasure of that, when we get the taste of that Vaishnava Seva, then we will actually go on.
So how one can balance it? Because sometimes when you do too much, so then it is like the bhajan is being diluted. Uh-huh. So how one can balance it?
at least I remember once Krishnanand Prabhu was asking this question to Radhana Swami Maharaj in one Bhagavatam class. So he said that sometimes we want to chant more rounds, we want to do more, want to read more, you want to chant more. So how do we, should we do that or not? So Maharaj said that if we follow the morning program perfectly, like that is actually in one sense sufficient for your protection. And beyond the morning program, he said that you can make more advancement by giving Krishna, by helping others, than by doing sadhana all day long. So at least according from the statements of Radhana Swami Maharaj, he said in one sense, the morning program is in one sense is sufficient. Of course, it does not mean that we don't read apart from the morning program. Like for all of you, the main service is actually reading for the reading and attending the classes. That is like that has become a service. It's a very something to be fortunate to think about it. There will be instances sometimes you may not get actually much time for reading, or like once you start involving in many departments and other services. So, but we should keep one thing actually constant, that is the morning program. And when we do that, that will be sufficient for protection. Beyond that, at least Maharaj said that we can get more mercy by giving Krishna, by rendering more service, than by doing bhajan all day long. So, that is there. And also we have to examine our consciousness. Sometimes the service becomes too taxing. Then we can definitely express this point to the superiors. So in one class Maharaj explained that ultimately it is important to maintain the quality of the consciousness. In a certain temporary period, sometimes because of the demands of the service, one may have to sacrifice certain part of sadhana. That is there.
We are almost around 12 years. Like he is an acharya. Like one grow holy name. Like, so we are not so capable of doing that. So what we can take from that, like, and we can strengthen ourselves, and whenever the service opportunity comes, we can do it with full faith and conviction.
Yeah, we have, that's why like Prabhupada has given the program. Like morning program and evening program. Evening program, many temples, they have the Bhagavad Gita classes. So, say, maybe for devotees here, it could be just reading on our own. Or during the daytime, we have services, but in the evening, we can spend time for reading or attending classes. There is a sandwich, the morning program, evening program, in between there are services.
The conclusion is that being the servant of the servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the highest benediction one can desire. As it is. Actually, I have heard in many places in Bhagavatam that the association of devotees is higher than the darshan of the Lord. You know? Here he says, not just the association, you know, being servant of the servant is the highest, he says, in this place.
Recently we were reading in Chaitanya Bhagavat that instant come, when Mahaprabhu in Mahaprakash Lila, he was giving benediction to all the devotees. So when Haridas Thakur came, and he asked Haridas Thakur, he glorified Haridas Thakur, and all the you ask benediction. So like this, Prabhupada also said that Prahlad Maharaj asked. After that, he also asked the same thing, Haridas Thakur. And after that, Mahaprabhu said that you are like Prahlad Maharaj. So there what he says that in the beginning, he just tells that importance of remembrance of Lord, Smaran. And he gives case study of 5-6 instances where devotees are remembering Lord came and protected. But then he says that, but I am such a wretched person that I don't have remembrance of you. I cannot remember you. Therefore, what I ask from you is that, I just translate it, that he said, whoever is serving your devotee, let their remnants become my only means eatable, their avashesh. And that, then he says, let that taking their remnants become my only bhajan, life after life, janma janma. And they said, let that taking their remnants become my kriya, my kula, my dharma. And he said that without your remembrance, my life is so sinful and wretched. Therefore, you just make it successful just by giving that your dashochista, he said, the word he uses. And then he said, interesting, he said, then he said that, but this is the greatest position and very high thing, and I am not fit for asking that also. Then he said, this is, I did a great offense by asking from you. Therefore, please forgive me. And he said, I am like a dead body. Please forgive me. Don't take my offense that I asked the benediction to get your dashochista, the remnants of your devotee. And then last he asked, that please bless me so that I can be just a dog in the house of devotee. Thus he just concludes it. And then Mahaprabhu gives him further.
Yeah, it's, personally speaking, these are very high prayers, definitely. So one thing, at least, like from these verses, we can understand, if we can at least develop appreciation, like for these prayers. When Haridas Thakur is offering, he's actually truly saying from the heart. And Pratapada Maharaj is saying that he's truly saying from the heart. But in our stage, we may not have that speaking from the heart, but if we can at least appreciate their prayers. And for us, going through us saying that when we are chanting Sikshashtakam, it is like a mantra for us. When we are chanting the Sikshashtakam prayers, we are not in the mood, it is like a mantra for us. So by repeating it regularly, then maybe at one day we will actually imbibe that, maybe that mood. So just like Queen Kunti says that, Shrinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Abhikshnasha Smaranti Nandanti. One who even takes pleasure in others to performing the devotional service, they will be able to see your lotus feet. So from our stage, we have to practice this. It is a sadhana for us, and we have to appreciate these prayers. We can appreciate the highest benediction desired by these devotees, and that itself is like a success for us. So we'll go ahead. So the beggars experience the ecstasy, and in this way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed wonderful pastimes. So then from the 47th to 51st verse it is described that, so now the prasadam distribution is over, the prasadam was further distributed to other devotees and beggars. So meanwhile the ratha cart was actually waiting there, and now they wanted to move the ratha cart. So they tried to move the ratha cart that they brought actually, although they were trying to move, the ratha was not moving only. And they brought huge elephants. King personally came there with his officers, and he arranged for big wrestlers to pull the car. And even the king himself joined in, but the car could not be moved. And he became even more anxious. And he called for strong elephants. And the strong elephants tried to pull the cart with full strength. But still the car remained standstill, not budging even an inch. So now the 52nd to 60th verse describe how the cart moved. So at that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he heard the news, he came along with his associates. And the elephants were crying, being beaten by the elephant goad. And the assembled people were actually, they were also very anxious. They were crying out, alas, loke kare ha ha kara. So Mahaprabhu at that time, he told the officials there to let go of the elephants. And he told them to actually, that there is no need of these wrestlers also. Then he gave the ropes in the hands of all his associates, and then he went behind the cart. And then he actually, with his head, he was trying to push the cart. And he pushed the cart moved with such great speed. All these associates, they did not feel the need to pull the cart. Just by the pushing of Mahaprabhu, the cart started moving so fast. Then all the devotees were astonished by this. they were saying that 57th verse, Anande Karaye Loka Jaya Jaya Dwani Jaya Jagannatha Bai Aranahi Shuni.
When the car moved forward, everyone began to chant with great pleasure, all glories, and all glories to Jai to Lord Jagannath. No one could hear anything else.
Nimeshete Gela Rata Gundichara Dwara Chaitanya Pratapa Deki Lokecha Matkara.
In a moment the car reached the door of the Gundicha temple. Upon seeing the uncommon strength of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the people were struck with wonder.
So there was like a completely astonishing sight for everyone. And Pratapada Maharaj and all his ministers, they were so astonished that all their hairs stood on end. They went into ecstasy. Then the Ratha, within few moments, it actually reached the Gundicha temple. And then Lord Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra, they were brought down from the Ratha and they were placed on the throne within the Gundicha temple. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his Sankirtan. So he began to perform Sankirtan in the Gundicha temple, in the courtyard of the temple. At that time, all the devotees who saw that Sankirtan, they were flooded in the ocean of love of Godhead. And then in the evening, after performing Sankirtan, Mahaprabhu went to the place called as Aitota, another garden, and then he actually took rest for the night. Then in four verses, 66 to 69, Kaviraj Goswami describes the prasadam invitation offered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by different devotees. So he says that for the next nine days, nine chief devotees headed by Advaita Acharya, they got opportunity to invite Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for prasadam at their home. And he says that for the 4 months of the Chaturmasya, for the 4 months of the rainy season, different important devotees, especially they explained that, Chari Masera Dina Mukhya Bhakta Bhanti Nila. Daily invitations were shared among the important devotees. That means, it's not that not everyone got the chance like sometimes. Now, there is some, even now they say that, some Maharajas, the different, all the Grahasthas, they want to actually invite Sanyasi for Prasadam, but not everyone gets an opportunity. So even during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time also, not everyone could get the opportunity. Certain important devotees, they got the opportunity. And sometimes some opportunities were shared between two or three devotees. It seems that maybe some items were cooked and two, three people, they would cook in different houses and then serve it at one place. So that is described there. And then from 70th verse is described that how Mahaprabhu induced different devotees to dance. He would perform Sankirtan along with his devotees in the Gundicha temple, and sometimes he would induce Advaita Acharya, sometimes Nityananda Prabhu or Achyutananda or Haridas Thakur, or sometimes he engaged Vakreshwar Pandit in dancing. In this way, three times he would go and he would perform Sankirtan in front of the Lord in the Gundicha temple. So, because now the Jagannath has come to the Vrindavan, that is Gundicha temple, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feelings of separation, that subsided. So, 75th verse. Nano Dhyane Bhakta Sange Vrindavana Leela Indradyum na sarovare kare jala kela.
There were many gardens near the Gundicha temple, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees used to perform the pastimes of Vrindavan in each of them. In the lake named Indradyumna, he sported in the water.
So now the 75 to 91st verse describe the water splashing pastimes between the different associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Indradyumna Sarovar. So Lord personally splashed water upon the different devotees, and the devotees surrounding the Lord, they also splashed water. And sometimes there would be they formed one circle or sometimes many circles. And in this way, they used to play cymbals and imitate the croaking of the frogs. Sometimes two devotees would pair and then they would fight with each other in the water. And one would emerge victorious and the other defeated, and the Lord would watch all this fun. And then Kaviraj Goswami describes at least four or five pairs of the devotees who would actually splash water upon each other. Or fight, sporting would take place between sometimes Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu. And both of them would actually rebuke each other by ill names. It's actually Vyajastuti. It's like and Sarav Damodar Goswami and Pundarik Vidyanadi dray through water upon each other. And then sometimes Srivas Thakur and Gadadhar Pandit. And another duel between Raghav Pandit and Vakreshwar Pandit. And then it is described that Sarvam Bhattacharya and Ramananda Rai, they also splashed water upon each other. So here it is explained that both of them are actually highly grave Vaishnavas, Sarvam Bhattacharya and Ramananda Rai. But both of them, they lost their gravity and they became like children. In one class, I think, I think Gaurang Prabhu's class, he was quoting somebody. He said that the power of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is that he made scholars into madmen. Sarvam Bhattacharya and Ramananda Rai, they were great scholars. He made them into madmen, like made them into small, like small children or madmen splashing water upon each other. And then he made madmen, or he made the most sinful people, madmen like Jagai and Madai, into like very highly well-behaved, serious, gentlemanly Vaishnavas. So this is the actually power of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. So in Mahaprabhu, especially when he saw Sarvam Bhattacharya and Ramananda Rai, when they were actually splashing water upon each other, he asked Gopinath Acharya, 83rd verse, महाप्रभु तांडोहार चांचल्य देखिया गोपीनाथाचार्य किचु कहे न हसिया.
When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the exuberance of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Rai, he smiled and spoke to Gopinathacharya.
Pandit Gambira Duhe Pramanika Jana Bala Chanchalya Kare Karaha Varjana.
Tell the Bhattacharya and Ramananda Rai to stop their childish play, because they are both learned scholars and very grave and great personalities.
So Gopinath Acharya replied, actually, I am feeling that one drop of the ocean of your mercy has swelled up upon them. And then he says a beautiful verse, 86th verse. Meru Mandara Parvata Dubaya Yatatata Eidu Yiganda Shaila Ihara Kakata.
A drop from the ocean of your mercy can drown great mountains like Sumeru and Mandara. Since these two gentlemen are little hills by comparison, it is no wonder that they are being drowned in the ocean of your mercy.
He is saying that one drop can, you know, the dimension of Sumeru Parvat and Mandara Parvat. Fifth canto describes like huge. So one drop can actually drown even such mountains. But these people are, yeah, like small hills compared to them. Therefore, they are easily being drowned by the ocean of your mercy. Shukha Tarka Kali Kaite Janma Gela Yandra. Tandreli Lamrita Piya Yekrupa Tomara.
Logic is like a dry oil cake from which all the oil has been extracted. The Bhattacharya placed his life in eating such dry cakes. But now you have made him drink the nectar of transcendental pastimes. It is certainly your great mercy upon him.
So this is a beautiful story of water splashing pastimes. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he called for Advaita Acharya and he told Advaita Acharya to act like a Sheshashayi. And then when Advaita Acharya was acting like a Sheshashayi, lying down in the water, and Mahaprabhu actually floated upon him. He actually climbed over him and then demonstrated the pastime of Sheshashayi Vishnu. So manifesting his personal potency, Advaita Acharya floated upon the water carrying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then in this way, after sporting in the water for some time, Mahaprabhu returned to Aitota, accompanied by his devotees. So then Mahaprabhu took lunch at the house of Advaita Acharya along with Pramananda Bharati and Paramananda Puri, who are all actually senior to him. And whatever extra prasad was brought by Vaninathava was actually distributed to the other associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then it is described that in the night time, Mahaprabhu went to the garden to take rest. And the next day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also went to the temple of Gundicha and saw the Lord. And then he chanted and danced in the yard for some time. So from 96 to 101st verse describe, these verses describe that how the Lord enjoyed the pastimes of Vrindavan. 96th verse, this is an important verse and purport. Bhakta Gana Sange Prabhu Udyane Asiya Vrindavana Viharakare Bhakta Gana Lana.
Accompanied by his devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went into the garden and enjoyed the pastimes of Vrindavan.
So this particular verse, this particular line is commented by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed the pastimes of Vrindavan. So people actually misinterpret this line by saying that Mahaprabhu enjoying the pastimes of Vrindavan means just like Krishna danced with the gopis, that Mahaprabhu enjoying the pastimes means that means like people think that especially this one of the kind of apasampradaya called as Gauranga Nagaris, they feel that means like Mahaprabhu also danced with other women just like Krishna danced with the gopis. All these associates, they also danced with other women. So Prabhupada says that when Mahaprabhu enjoyed the pastimes, it is not that any women were involved. No women were involved. So one should not compare Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Vrindavan Vihar in the garden of Jagannath with the activities of Gauranga Nagaris. The pastimes of Vrindavan does not refer to Krishna's mixing with the gopis or the transcendental mellow of Parakya Rasa. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Vrindavan Leela in the garden of Jagannath Muri did not involve association with women or with other people's wives in the fashion transcendentally demonstrated by Sri Krishna. This is a clarification which is mentioned by the Acharyas. So then it is described that how there were like different varieties of trees and creepers in the garden, and they were all jubilant to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The birds were chirping nicely, the bees were buzzing, a nice breeze was flowing, and Mahaprabhu danced underneath each tree, and Vasudeva Datta was singing alone. And as Vasudeva Datta sang a different song, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced there alone in great ecstasy. He actually sang different song under each tree. Then after some time, Mahaprabhu ordered Vakreshwar Pandit to dance, and Mahaprabhu himself started singing. So then the devotees like Sarup Damodar and other Kirtan performers began to sing along. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then being inundated with ecstatic love, they all lost track of time or place. Then it is described that after performing pastimes in the garden for some time, then they went to Narendra Sarovar and they took bath there. And there also they performed water sporting at Narendra Sarovar. And then he came and accepted prasadam with the devotees. So the same thing continued for 9 continuous days. This was the program for 9 days. And during this time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also stayed there and performed the pastimes with his devotees that have already been described. So the garden in which Mahaprabhu stayed and took rest, that is called as Jagannath Vallabh Garden. Yeah, we'll take a break and then we'll continue from the 106th verse. that will come Hera Panchami. Starting now. From 106th verse. Now the main topic of this chapter, that the Lakshmi Vijayotsav, Hera Panchami festival, that is being described. The first verse of this chapter, the word comes Lakshmi Vijayotsav. Mahaprabhu went to the festival known as Lakshmi Vijayotsav, a Hera Panchami festival, that is described in 106th verse. So Prataprudra Maharaj, he gives instruction to Kashi Mishra as how to celebrate the Hera Panchami festival. So he gives instruction in almost in 10 verses, 106 to 117th verse. No, 106 to yeah, Mahaprabhu, 117th verse. It starts the Hera Panchami festival. First, he gives instruction, and the description of Hera Panchami festival starts. Hera Panchami Radina Aila Janiya Kashi Mishreka He Raja Sayatna Kariya.
Knowing that the Hera Panchami festival was drawing near, King Prataprudra attentively talked with Kashi Mishra.
So, Hera Panchami festival means the fifth day after the Ratayatra, let's say Panchami comes. On the fifth day, Lakshmi Devi goes to Gundicha temple and she actually quarrels with the Lakshmi Devi and her servants go there, and then they actually quarrel with the servants of Jagannath. And they actually arrest the servants of Jagannath and they tell Jagannath ji, they tell them to actually bring Jagannath immediately the next day or very soon. So here sometimes people say that Hera Panchami, they call it as Hara Panchami, but actually the actual word is Hera Panchami. Hera means to go and see. So Hera means to see and refers to the goddess of fortune going to see Lord Jagannath. So Jagannath actually went on a Ratayatra, and he actually, on the pretext of going on a Ratayatra, he actually went to Vrindavan and he stayed for 9 days there, 8 days or 9 days. So Lakshmi Devi did not expect that Jagannath ji would be away for such a long time. She thought that he would come in actually one day. But 2 days passed, 3 days passed. But after the fifth day, when she became like neglected, she comes to actually get back Jagannath, and she comes and quarrels with the servants of Lord Jagannath. That is what Hera Panchami festival. So now Prataprudra Maharaj is telling to Kashi Mishra to observe this festival in a very elaborate and a very gorgeous manner. Never before, he says that we should celebrate this festival in such a manner that more gorgeous, more elaborate than any of the previous times. And he says that you take as many printed cloths, small bells, etc., and collect all the different small and large flags, ringing bells. In this way, decorate the carrier very attractively. And we should have nice music and dancing performance when Lakshmi Devi is going to Gundicha temple. And he also explains that we should distribute such quantity of prasadam even more than what we distributed on the day of Ratayatra. And you must celebrate the festival in such a way that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be so happy to see this festival. And also make sure that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, they would be freely be able to go in order to go and take darshan of the deities and in order to observe this festival. So then in the morning, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after his bath, he went to see Lord Jagannath at Gundicha temple, which is called as Sundarachal. So then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his personal devotees returned to Neelachal with great eagerness to see the Hera Panchami festival, 115th verse, Kashi Mishra Prabhu Re Bahu Adara Kariya Swagana Saha Bala Stane Vasaila Lana.
Kashi Mishra received Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great respect, and taking the Lord and his associates to a very nice place, he had them seated.
So now there is a beautiful conversation. Mahaprabhu is sitting there. When he is sitting there with his associates, there is a nice conversation between Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar Goswami and Srivas Thakur while observing this festival. So now what is being described is that this conversation and also the festival, how it is happening, that is all described in a very intermingling manner. So Mahaprabhu asked Swarup Damodar Goswami, and Swarup Damodar Goswami's answer, that is described in the next 12 verses, 116 to 127. So Mahaprabhu, after taking his seat, he wanted to hear about a particular mellow of devotional service. So therefore, with a smile, he inquired from Swarup Damodar. Swarup Damodar Goswami. Yadyapi Jagannatha Karena Dwarakaya Vihar Sahaja Prakata Kare Parama Udara Tatapi Vatsara Madhye Hoya Ekabara Vrindavana Dekite Tandra Utkanta Para.
Although Lord Jagannath enjoys his pastimes at Dwarka Dham and naturally manifests sublime liberality there, still once a year he becomes unlimitedly eager to see Vrindavan.
So Mahaprabhu is saying that although Jagannath is very merciful, he is so munificent in Dwarka, but once a year he becomes extremely eager to go to Vrindavan, to go to Gundicha temple. Gundicha temple, the gardens around Gundicha temple they exactly resemble Vrindavan. Therefore, Jagannath is very eager to go there. And he asks that if the Lord is enjoying pastimes day and night in the various flower gardens there, then why does Jagannath not take Lakshmi Devi along with him when he goes to actually the garden, when he goes to Gundicha temple, and when he is performing pastimes in the gardens around the Gundicha temple? So the first question is that why does he not take Lakshmi Devi? So Sarudamadhar answers, Sarudamadhar Goswami says that actually Lakshmi Devi cannot be admitted to the pastimes of Vrindavan. And he says that in the Vrindavan, the main assistants to the Lord in his pastimes are the gopis. Except for the gopis, nobody can attract the mind of Krishna. 124th verse. Prabhu kahe yatra chale krishne ragamana subhadra ara bala deva sange dui jana.
The Lord said, using the car festival as an excuse, Krishna goes there with Subhadra and Baldev.
So here it's explained that all the pastimes with the gopi that take place in those gardens are very confidential ecstasies of Krishna and nobody knows them. So here again Sarudamadhar Goswami asks a question. Sorry, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks a question that if there is no fault in Krishna's pastimes, then why does the goddess of fortune become angry? So to this question, first Sarvadamadhar Goswami replied that first question was that why Jagannath ji does not take Lakshmi Devi to the garden of Vrindavan. Then Sarvadamadhar Goswami replied by saying that the only assistants of the Lord in Vrindavan are the gopis. Lakshmi Devi cannot be given entrance there. Jagannath enjoys confidential ecstasies in those gardens. Then Mahaprabhu asked the question that actually if there is no fault on the part of Krishna, then why does Lakshmi Devi become angry? So Sarudamadhar Goswami says that it is the nature of a girl that when she is neglected by her lover, she immediately becomes angry. So in this way, when the conversation is going on, now the Hera Panchami starts from 128th verse. The description of the Hera Panchami festival, that starts. And then again there is a conversation. So there is conversation, description of Hera Panchami festival, and then there is again conversation. 128th verse. Hena kale kachita yaha vividaratana suvarnera chaudala kari arohana.
While Swarup Damodar and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were talking, The procession of Goddess of Fortune came by. She was riding upon a golden palanquin carried by four men and bedecked with a variety of jewels.
So Lakshmi Devi was carried by her servants. The deity of Lakshmi Devi was brought. And her palanquin was decorated in a very, very opulent manner with so many jewels and ornaments, various necklaces. And when they came there, in an angry mood, Goddess of Fortune arrived at the main gate of the Gundicha temple, and it is described that all the members of her family exhibited uncommon opulence. And then the servants of Lakshmi Devi, they began to harass the servants of Jagannath. And the maid servants, they actually handcuffed the servants of Jagannath, and they made the servants of Jagannath fall down at the lotus feet of Lakshmi Devi, as if they were like thieves. Indeed, they were arrested just like thieves who have all the riches taken away. So Prabhupada just explained the same points in the purport. 134th verse. Achetanatvatare karena tadane nanamata galidena bandavachane.
When the servants fell down before the lotus feet of the Goddess of Fortune, They almost fell unconscious. They were chastised and made the butt of jokes and loose language.
So Mahaprabhu and his associates, they actually covered their faces with their hands and began to smile. So Swarup Damodar Goswami is saying, he says that there is no egoistic pride like this exhibited by Lakshmi Devi in the three worlds. At least I have never seen such an egoistic pride, or I have never heard about it. So usually, like here Kaviraj Goswami explained, the Swarup Damodar Goswami is saying that normally when a woman is actually neglected by the husband or by the lover, so what is the normal reaction? Normal reaction is that a woman actually gives up her ornaments and morosely sits down on the ground, marking lines on it with her nails. Usually, like this kind of pride is exhibited by Satyabhama, and who is the proudest of all the queen of Krishna. And sometimes the gopis of Vrindavan also exhibit this kind of pride when they were neglected by Krishna. But Swarup Damodar Goswami says, but in the case of Goddess of Fortune, I am seeing a completely different kind of pride. Normally a woman gives up her ornaments. In a morose state, she marks lines on it with her nails. But here Lakshmi Devi is wearing all kinds of ornaments, and she is going and chastising the husband and her servants. So this kind of pride is a different kind of pride. So we have heard of such egoistic pride in Satyabhama and the gopis of Vrindavan, but what we see in the Goddess of Fortune at Jagannath Puri is completely different. She becomes very angry with her husband and attacks him with her great opulence. 140th verse. Prabhu kahe kaha vrajera manera prakara. Swarup kahe gopi mana nadishata dara.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, please tell me of the varieties of the egoistic pride manifested in Vrindavan. Swarup Damodar replied, the pride of the gopis is like a river flowing with hundreds of tributaries.
So this is a little esoteric topic, but I'll just cover just in summary what is described. So Mahaprabhu is asking that, okay, you told about the pride exhibited by women. Can you please tell the different types of pride exhibited by the gopis in Vrindavan? So Swarup Damodar Goswami said this topic is a very esoteric topic, and the characteristics and modes of love are different in different women, and their jealous anger also takes on different varieties and qualities. Actually, it is not possible to give a complete statement about the different types of anger manifest by the gopis, but still we can draw a certain few principles based on the different anger. So then Swarup Damodar Goswami says that there are three types of women who express jealous anger. One is Dheera, sober women, and second is Adheera. Adheera means restless women, and third is Dheera Adheera. That means like sometimes restless, sometimes sober. These are the three types of women who express jealous anger. So then Swarup Damodar Goswami describes each of these types. What are their actually characteristics? So 144 to 146 he describes the Dheera women. 144th verse. Dheera kante dure deki kare prayut pratyuttana. Nikate asile kare asana pradana.
When a sober heroine sees her hero approaching from a distance, she immediately stands up to receive him. When he comes near, she immediately offers him a place to sit.
So this Dheera woman, she basically, although she is angry with her husband, with the lover who has neglected her, but she actually conceals her anger. And she externally speaks sweet words. And she is basically simple in her behavior. She keeps her jealous anger within her heart. But with mild words and smiles, she rejects the advances of her lover. And Adhira women, how does she behave? She sometimes, she chastises the lover or pulls the ear of the lover or even binds him with a flower garland. And then Dhira Adhira, 148th verse, she is actually a combination of both Dhira and Adhira. So sometimes such a heroine always jokes with equivocal words. She sometimes praises her lover, sometimes blasphemes him, and sometimes remains indifferent. So then in the 149th verse, Swarup Damodara Goswami gives another classification of the Nayikas. Nayikas means heroines. So here he gives another classification, that is Mugdha, Madhya and Pragalba. Mugdha means captivated, Madhya is intermediate, Pragalba is impudent. And then he says that, he just explains the Mugdha, the captivated heroine simply covers her face and goes on crying. When she hears sweet words from her lover, she is very satisfied. And then he explains that by the other two types, Madhya and Pragalba, they can be classified as Dhira Adhira and Dhira Adhira. So I don't have much more information on this, I'm just repeating. So 151st verse, he says that the other two, Madhya and Pragalba, they can be classified into these three categories which we mentioned previously, Dhira Adhira and Dhira Adhira. And then he says that, and then 152nd verse, he gives another classification. The first classification was Dhira Adhira and Dhira Adhira. And then the second classification was Mugdha, Madhya and Pragalba. And he just explained that Madhya and Pragalba can be classified within these, the first three types. The third classification in 152nd verse is that some heroines are very talkative, some are mild, and some are equipoised. So each heroine, according to her own character, increases Krishna's loving ecstasy. Although some of the gopis are talkative, some mild and some equipoised, all of them are transcendental and faultless. They please Krishna by their unique characteristics. So now we'll just hear what was Mahaprabhu's reaction on hearing these classifications. We get a little bewildered. But what is Mahaprabhu's reaction? 154th verse. Yekata Shuniya Prabhura Ananda Apara Kaha Kaha Damodara Bole Bara Bara.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt unlimited happiness upon hearing these descriptions, and he again and again requested Swarup Damodara to continue speaking.
So actually all these topics are basically the subjects of Ujjwala and Neelamani. Rupa Goswami has written this book, Ujjwala Neelamani, where he is focusing exclusively on Madhurya Rasa. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when he describes Madhurya Rasa, he explains in the beginning itself, he says that these pastimes, the topic of Madhurya Rasa is so confidential and it can be easily imitated. So therefore, I will just describe here only briefly about Madhurya Rasa. So the acharyas explained that Rupa Goswami described elaborately about Madhurya Rasa in Ujjwala Neelamani. So these are all topics of Ujjwala Neelamani, are the different types of the actually lovers of Krishna. But Mahaprabhu is like completely ecstatic. And Swarup Damodara Goswami said, Krishna is the master of all transcendental mellows. So 155th verse. Damodara kahe Krishna rasika shekara. Rasa aswadaka rasa maya kalevara.
Damodar Goswami said, Krishna is the master of all transcendental mellows and the taster of all transcendental mellows, and his body is composed of transcendental bliss.
Prema maya vapu Krishna bhakta premadina. Shuddha preme rasa gune gopika praveena.
Krishna is full of ecstatic love and always subordinate to the love of his devotees. The gopis are very much experienced in pure love and in the dealings of transcendental mellows.
So here it's explained, Swarupa Damodar Goswami says Krishna is a rasika shaker, is a master of the rasa, is a master of the one who can enjoy the transcendental mellows. And the gopis are expert in actually in the dealings of rasa. And they are praveena, gopika praveena, they are experienced in pure love. And this verse, 157th verse, gopikara premena hi rasabhasa dosha. Ata eva krishnera kare parama santosha.
There is no flaw or adulteration in the love of the gopis. Therefore, they give Krishna the highest pleasure.
So here, especially it is explained that there is no rasabhas. There is no fault of rasabhas when gopis give pleasure to Krishna. And here Prabhupada explains in the purport, there are three types of rasabhas. They are described in the last chapter of Nectar of Devotion. One is uparasa, anurasa and aparasa. Uparasa, aparasa and anurasa. These are the three kinds of rasabhas. So just, I'll just describe briefly what are the three kinds of rasabhas. So the first is uparasa. Yeah, uparasa. So rasabhas are incompatible mixtures of mellows may be classified as uparasa, anurasa and aparasa. As of all varieties of rasabhas, uparasa is considered to be uttama because uparasa very closely resembles genuine rasa. And anurasa is considered to be madhyama because it less closely resembles genuine rasa. And aparasa is considered to be kanishta. It least resembles the genuine rasa. So what are the definitions of uparasa? Uparasa means, so if you remember, we had talked about the five components of rasa. What are the five components? Vibhava, anubhava, sattvika bhava, vyabhichari bhava and sthayi bhava. These are the five components of rasa. Sanchari bhava and vyabhichari bhava both are same. Sanchari bhava and vyabhichari bhava both are same. Vibhava. Vibhava means causes of ecstasy, that which stimulates. Anubhava is the subsequent ecstasy. Yeah. And the sattvika bhava is existential ecstasy. And vyabhichari bhava, aggressive ecstasy. And sthayi bhava is continuous ecstasy. So this is a translation given by Prabhupada. So vibhava is the stimulants. And anubhava, sattvikabhava is the consequent emotions when the affection is stimulated. In the case of anubhava, there is a conscious action. In the case of sattvikabhava, there is an involuntary, unconscious action. That's the difference between anubhava and sattvikabhava. And vyabhichari bhava, there is an anxiety involved. The child is actually falling from the top of a floor or a cliff. Sthayi bhava is one's eternal affection. So, in regards to coming back to uparasa, when one of the five components, five compositional elements of rasa is deficient, one of these five components, when it is deficient, then the effect generated is a perverted or distorted mellow called uparasa. When one of the five components is deficient, it is called as uparasa. Because in sweet rice, suppose you forgot to put sugar or there is no dry fruits, something like that. Of course, suppose if there is no milk only, then that's a different thing. So, but here it is just explained that when one of the five compositional elements of rasa is deficient, the effect generated is a perverted or distorted mellow called uparasa. And of course, he gives multiple subcategories within this. So he says, what is Shanta Uparasa, Dasya Uparasa? And for each of that, he says, what are the causes of Shanta Uparasa? What are the causes of Dasya Uparasa? What are the causes of Sakya Uparasa? What are the causes of Vatsalya Uparasa? What are the causes of Madhurya Uparasa? He describes that, all those things. And then he describes in Madhurya Uparasa that there are three causes which give rise to Madhurya Uparasa. And he describes each of those three causes in detail. So this, at least just suffice it to say that what is Uparasa, that is just, I just want to mention. And the next kind of Rasabhas is called as Anurasa. So Anurasa is imitation of Rasa. So Uparasa is translated as distortion of Rasa. And Anurasa is called as the imitation of Rasa. So what is Anurasa? Anurasa is interesting. The genuine Rasa always focuses on Krishna. Rasa is basically, it's a living entity enjoys with Krishna. Genuine Rasa always focuses on Krishna. But if somebody other than Krishna becomes the focus, then the Rasa degrades to Anurasa. And Rupa Goswami gives an example. He says that once Narada Muni was passing through Vrindavan, and Narada Muni saw a pair of parrots discussing Vedanta. And he was struck with wonder, and he began to exhibit the symptoms of Adbhuta Rasa. So here is the case of actually Anurasa, because here the Narada Muni's wonder is not focused on Krishna, it is focused on something other than Krishna. The parrot speaking and discussing Vedanta. So therefore it is an imitation of real Krishna-centered Rasa. In Adbhuta Rasa, a person becomes astonished on something centered on Krishna, but here Narada Muni is astonished on something centered other than Krishna. Therefore, it is a Anurasa, imitation of Rasa. And the third kind of Rasabhasa is called as Aparasa. Aparasa is translated by Prabhupada as false Rasa. Distortion of Rasa, imitation of Rasa, and third is false Rasa. So here, in the case of Aparasa, what Rupa Goswami says is that Rasa is experienced truly only by Krishna's loving devotees. Only Krishna's loving devotees can experience truly Rasa. But so enemies of Krishna can never experience Rasa. But sometimes if the enemies of Krishna appear to manifest behavior similar to Rasa, then one must know that it is Aparasa, false Rasa. Like for example, he gives an example. When Krishna was fleeing from the battlefield and Jarasandha and Kalyan and they attacked. That time Jarasandha was watching Krishna with restless eyes and he was feeling very proud and he started laughing loud repeatedly. He started laughing repeatedly. So this is an false Hasya Rasa. This is Hasya Aparasa. False ecstatic laughter. So this is just an definition of. But Prabhupada here, what definition he gives here is that if one tastes one kind of mellow and something extra is imposed, that is Uparasa. If something is derived from the original mellow, it is called Anurasa. If something is appreciated that is far removed from the original mellow, it is called Aparasa. Uparasa, Anurasa and Aparasa are respectively the first, second and third class Rasabhas. This is the definition he gives here. But the definition which I read is from the Bhakti Rasamu Sindhu last chapter. 158th verse we'll recite together.
Evam shashankamshu virajita nisha sasatya kamo nurata balagana Shisheva Atman Yavarudda Saurata Sarva Sharat Kavya Katara Sashraya.
Lord Shri Krishna, who is the absolute truth, enjoyed his rasa dance every night during the autumn season. He performed this dance in the moonlight and with full transcendental mellows. He used poetic words and surrounded himself with women who were very much attracted to him.
So this is from the Rasa Panchadhyayi section, 10th canto. So here, Prabhupada's purport, what he says is that, basically explains that everything about Krishna, the Vrindavan and the gopis are all transcendental. Everything related to Vrindavan is transcendental, the gopis are transcendental, they are all spiritual. And then he says, this is the most important sentence in the purport. One has to be transcendentally realized before even considering relishing the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis. One who is on the mundane platform must first purify himself by following the regulative principles. Only then can he try to understand Krishna and the gopis. And then Prabhupada explains, he says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a strict sannyasi, and Sarup Damodar Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are talking about the topics of gopis and Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never had any dealings with women. He was so strict in his association with the women. So therefore, if he is talking, that means that the topics of the gopis, it cannot be actually mundane. It must be spiritual. That is the point of Prabhupada. So now in the 159th verse, so Kaviraj Goswami goes further, or Swarup Damodar Goswami is describing further. He says that gopis can be divided into two groups, left wing and right wing, Vama and Dakshina. And I mean, the political, this also sometimes left wing and right wing. It's also there. So here are the gopis, left wing and right wing. But among all the gopis, the topmost gopi is Srimati Radharani. And then 161st verse, he gives the mood of Srimati Radharani. Vayase madhyamate ho swabhavete sama. Gada prema bhavete ho nirantara vama.
Radharani is grown up and her character is equipoised. She is always deeply absorbed in ecstatic love and always feeling in the mood of a left-wing gopi.
So this is the mood of Srimati Radharani. Prabhupada gives two verses from the Ujjvala Neelamani defining left-wing gopi and the right-wing gopi. What are the moods of both this left-wing and right-wing gopis? Vama and Dakshina, that is described. And because Srimati Radharani is a left-wing gopi, her womanly anger is always awakening. But Krishna derives transcendental bliss from her activities. And then Swarup Damodar Goswami says that when the left-wing gopi becomes angry, there are two causes of anger. One anger is with cause and another anger is without a cause. He says, this is the verse, because this verse I heard often quoted by Gaurang Prabhu, or he mentioned this point, how the loving affairs are like the movement of a snake. Here it's explained, the loving affairs between a young boy and a girl is by nature crooked, like the movement of a snake. The movement of a snake means it is like you cannot predict it. It will just go in a very curved fashion. That means what it shows is that to be able to adjust ourselves with the changes, with the mood of the superior devotees, like now, because of sadhaka, so to adjust ourselves with the mood of the spiritual master, and by that, when we do that, that is how we can actually we can progress in this actually platform of love. So in the Vrindavan, Rajavasis, they were so expert in actually adjusting themselves to the mood of Krishna. Then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard all these things, his bliss increased. And he told Swarup Damodar Goswami, please go on speaking more and more. And then 165th verse. Adiruda Mahabhava Radhikara Prema.
విశుద్ధ నిర్మల యైచే దశవాణ హేమ.
Srimati Radharani's love is a highly advanced ecstasy. All her dealings are completely pure and devoid of material tinge. Indeed, her dealings are 10 times pure than gold.
Swarupadamodara Goswami says that when Srimati Radharani desires to meet Krishna, her body becomes decorated with different ecstatic ornaments. And what are these different ecstatic ornaments? And he says that 8 kind of sattvika bhavas and the 33 types of vyabhichari bhavas, and he explains that there are 20 bhavas and furthermore some 20 bhavas. He doesn't give any classification. And these are the different ornaments which Srimati Radharani wears when she goes to meet Krishna. And then 168th verse he says that There are some critically explained symptoms in the following verses. Some of the symptoms critically explained in the following verses are, he gives 8 symptoms. Kila kunchita kutimitta vilasa lalita vivoka motayita maugadya and chakita. So this is very esoteric topics. I'll just briefly mention the flow of the verses and then we'll go ahead. So now from the 169th verse, Kaviraj Goswami or Swarupadamodara Goswami describes critically explained symptoms, this kila kinchita kutamita etc. So he explains I think 4 of these symptoms from 170th to 182nd verse. Swarupadamodara Goswami describes the symptom called as kila kinchita. He describes 2 pastimes in relation to that. Dana keli leela, and also when sometimes I think the naukar, is that pastime? The boating pastime. Nauka vihar. When Srimati Radharani goes to actually cross the river, then Krishna comes as a boatman that pastime. So kila kinchita. Then he also gives a definition of the kila kinchita bhava. I think this must be from Ujjwala Nilamani or somewhere. The reference is not mentioned. So he explains 170 to 182nd about this kila kinchita bhava. So basically, the essence of this kila kinchita bhava is that Krishna is thousands upon thousands of times more satisfied when he sees Srimati Radharani's face light up from the combination of ecstatic love due to this kila kinchita bhava than he is in the direct association of Srimati Radharani. So that is the essence of kila kinchita bhava. And then from by hearing this, Mahaprabhu becomes like absorbed in the happiness, and he tells Swarupadamodara Goswami to describe more. He says that, please speak the ecstatic symptoms decorating the body of Srimati Radharani by which she enchants the mind of Sri Govinda. So then from 185 to 189, Swarupadamodara Goswami describes the next symptom called as Vilasa. Next symptom called as Vilasa. So this is with reference to about the face and how the person moves. And then from 190 to 194, Swarupadamodara Goswami describes the next symptom called as Lalita. And 195 to 198, he describes another symptom called as Kattamitha. Kuttamitha. So these are all different symptoms. Maybe we can just read through, but this is a sort of topic I will not take into it. So then, after describing all these things, 201st verse, Yei mat arasab bhava vibhushana. Yahate bhushita radha hare krishna mana.
In this way, Srimati Radharani is ornamented and decorated with various ecstatic symptoms, which attract the mind of Sri Krishna.
Then Kaviraj Goswami says, Ananta Krishnera Leela Nayaya Varnana. Apane Varnena Yadi Sahasra Vadana.
It is not at all possible to describe the unlimited pastimes of Sri Krishna, even though he himself describes them in his incarnation of Sahasravadan, the thousand mouth Sheshnag.
So now, after Sarudamadhar Goswami described these symptoms, now there is a sweet conversation between Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar Goswami, and another personality also gets involved, that is Srivas Thakur. So this is a sweet conversation. So Swarup Damodar Goswami Srivas Thakur smiled and told Swarup Damodar Goswami, my dear sir, just see how opulent my goddess of fortune is. So from 203rd verse to 214th verse, Srivas Thakur explains the opulence of Lakshmi Devi, the opulence of Vaikuntha. And in response, Swarup Damodar Goswami will describe the opulence of Vrindavan. So 203 to 214, Srivas Thakur explains the opulence of Lakshmi Devi or Vaikuntha. 204th verse, Vrindavanera Sampad Deka Pushpa Kishalaya. Giridhatu Shiki Picha Gunjafalamaya.
As far as Vrindavan's opulence is concerned, it consists of a few flowers and twigs, some minerals from the hills, a few peacock feathers, and a plant known as Gunja.
Vrindavana Deki Bare Gela Jagannatha. Shuni Lakshmi Devi Ramane Haila Asoyata.
When Jagannath decided to see Vrindavan, he went there. And upon hearing this, the goddess of fortune experienced restlessness and jealousy.
So here we see that, if you remember, we discussed that verse, what is it, Brahmaji's first prayer? Naumidya tebra vapushe tadidambaraya gunjava tamsa paripichya lasan mukaya vanyasraje kavala vetra vitana venu lakshmasraje mrudupade pashupankajaya. So Brahmaji describes those the form of Lord Krishna, how he is decorated with the gunja berries and peacock feather, the forest flowers of Vrindavan, and he is having a curd rice in his hand. So in that purport, Vishnu Chakratipada, he explains that actually the opulence of Vrindavan is superior even to the opulence of Vaikuntha and Dwaraka. So there is a beautiful purport Vishnu Chakratipada writes there. So here, Srivas Thakur is saying that actually when Jagannath decided to see Vrindavan, he went there, and the goddess of fortune experienced restlessness and jealousy, and then in order to make Jagannath a laughing stock, the goddess of fortune made arrangements for much decoration. So she was wondering, why did Jagannath leave so much of opulence of Dwaraka or Vaikuntha, and then why did he go to Vrindavan? So in order to make him a laughing stock, that is why she goes in a beautifully decorated ornaments, etc. 207th verse, Tomara Takura Deka Yeta Sampati Chadi Patrafala Fula Lobe Gela Pushpa Badi.
Then the maid servants of Goddess of Fortune said to the servants of Lord Jagannath, why did your Jagannath
abandoned the great opulence of Goddess of Fortune, and for the sake of few leaves, fruits and flowers, go see the flower garden of Srimati Radharani.
So they are actually, this is a statement of servants of Goddess of Fortune and servants of Jagannath. And they say that your master is expert at everything, but why does he do such things? So please bring your master in front of the Goddess of Fortune. In this way, the servants of Goddess of Fortune, they arrested the servants of Jagannath, bound them around the waist and brought them before the Goddess of Fortune. And they made them actually fall down to the lotus feet of Goddess of Fortune. And they actually told that they began to beat the Ratakar with sticks. And they treated them like thieves. And finally, when all the servants of Jagannath submitted to the Goddess of Fortune with folded hands, that they gave assurance that we will definitely bring Jagannath tomorrow, or the very next day, then the servants of Lakshmi Devi, they left the servants of Jagannath. So in this way, being pacified, the Goddess of Fortune returned to her apartment. This is what is actually the Hara Panchami festival is about. In this way, Srivas Thakur is saying that, just see that how my Goddess of Fortune is so opulent, and how she actually chastised the servants of Jagannath. 214th verse. Dugda auti dadi mate tomara gopi gane. Amara takurani vaise ratna simhasane.
Srivas Thakur continued to address Swarup Damodar. Your gopis are engaged in boiling milk and churning it into yogurt. But my mistress, the Goddess of Fortune, sits on a throne made of jewels and gems.
So Srivas Thakur, Srivas Thakur is the incarnation of Narada Muni. So Srivas Thakur was enjoying the mood of Narada Muni, therefore he spoke like that. That time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to smile, and Mahaprabhu is telling to Srivas Thakur, Prabhu kahe Srivasa tomate Narada Swabhava. Aishwarya bhave tomate Ishwara Prabhava.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told Srivas Thakur, my dear Srivas, your nature is exactly like that of Narad Muni. The supreme personality of Godhead's opulence is having a direct influence upon you.
Then Swarup Damodar, he says that Swarup Damodar Goswami is a pure devotee of Vrindavan. He does not know about any of this opulence of Vaikuntha. He is simply absorbed in the mood of Vrindavan. Then Swarup Damodar Goswami, from 218th verse till the 228th verse, he describes the opulence of Vrindavan. And he tells Srivas Thakur, actually you have completely forgotten the opulence of Vrindavan. The natural opulence of Vrindavan is just like an ocean, and the opulence of Vaikuntha and Dwaraka, they cannot be even compared to the opulence of Vrindavan. And he explains that actually Krishna exhibits his complete opulences only in Vrindavan. And then he explains 8 points about opulence of Vrindavan. The first point is about the Chintamani in the Vrindavan Dham. He says Vrindavan Dham is actually filled with Chintamani. In fact, Chintamani is superior even to the gold or other rubies actually. Like I was reading one purport in Sankhya Yoga section, Vishnu Chakotipad explains that there's a verse which says that the pure devotee, they do not even desire liberation. And then just one or two verses later, it is explained that, but the Supreme Lord or the Bhakti Devi awards liberation to the pure devotees even though they do not desire it. Then Vishnu Chakotipad writes in the purport, if the pure devotees don't desire liberation, why does the actually Bhakti Devi award liberation to them if they don't desire it? So he gives the reason that sometimes a person is having Chintamani gem or very valuable gems. He wants to give that to people. But some other person, he instead of wanting the valuable gems of Chintamani from them, from this rich person, but they are only interested in the gold. Gold is much inferior compared to the Chintamani Jap. But this rich person, just so that this person who is wanting gold, just so that he does not get disturbed, he makes a show of giving charity of gold in order to actually show it to the person that I also have gold. Actually, yes, much more valuable than the gold, but there will be other people who are only interested in the gold, which is much inferior, just to actually not to disturb this, just to not to disturb that person, he makes a show of actually giving gold. So similarly, he says that Bhakti Devi wants to offer something which is superior even to liberation, that is love of Krishna. But the Jnanis are interested only in liberation, although the Bhakti Devi is ready to offer much more. And the Jnanis, they would be disturbed if the Bhakti Devi does not offer liberation. Therefore, in order to remove the disturbance of the Jnanis, who are mainly interested in the liberation, Bhakti Devi makes a show of giving liberation to the pure devotees, although the pure devotees don't desire it. So there he explains that this example, the liberation is compared to the gold and the Krishna Prema is compared to the Chintamani gem and other things. So here Vrindavan Dham is made of the Chintamani gem, which is much superior to the jewels of actually Vaikuntha. Here he says that the residents of Vrindavan, they decorate the lotus feet with the Chintamani gem. So you can imagine the opulence of Vrindavan. And the second point he explains is that Vrindavan is filled with the Kalpa Vriksha trees, desire trees. And the third point is that Vrindavan is also filled with the Kamadenu cows. Kamadenu cows who can deliver actually unlimited quantities of milk. And the fourth point is about the speech of the residents of Vrindavan. The speech of them is like a song, and their motion is like a dance. So this is the fourth point, speech and motion of the residents of Vrindavan. And the fifth point is the water of Vrindavan is like nectar. Savrata jala yaha amrita samana. And the sixth point is that Brahma Jyoti is perceived in the form of Vrindavan Dham. And the seventh point about the opulence of Vrindavan is that he says the gopis of Vrindavan, they are also goddess of fortune. In fact, they surpass the goddess of fortune who reside in Vaikuntha. And the eighth point about the opulence of Vrindavan is about the nature of Krishna's flute sound. In Vrindavan, Krishna is always playing his transcendental flute, which is his dear companion. So these were the eight points described by Swarup Damodar Goswami to Srivas Thakur about the opulence of Vrindavan, how it is superior to the opulence of Vaikuntha. Then he quotes two verses. One is the Brahma Samhita verse and another verse from the Bilomangal Thakur's, which is quoted in Bhakti Rasam Sindhu. We will recite the 227 and 228th verse, 227th verse, we will recite together. Shriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpataravo Druma Bhumis Chinta Mani Gana Mayi Toyam Amritam Kata Ganam Natyam Gamanam Api Vamshi Priyasaki Chidanandam Jyoti Paramapi Tada Swadhyamapi Cha.
Vrindavan, the gopis are super goddesses of fortune. The enjoyer in Vrindavan is the supreme personality of Godhead Krishna. The trees there are all wish fulfilling trees, and the land is made of transcendental touchstone. The water is all nectar, the talking is singing, the walking is dancing, and constant companion of Krishna is his flute. The effulgence of transcendental bliss is experienced everywhere. Therefore, Vrindavan Dham is the only relishable abode.
Chintamanis charana bhushana manganam shringara pushpataravastaravasuranam ವೃಂದಾವನೆ ವ್ರಜದನಂ ನನು ಕಾಮಧೇನು ವೃಂದಾಣಿ ಚೇತಿ ಸುಖ ಸಿಂಧುರಘೋ ವಿಭೂತಿ.
Its of the damsels of Rajbhumi are made of Chintamani stone. The trees are wish-fulfilling trees, and they produce flowers with which the gopis decorate themselves. There are also wish-fulfilling cows, Kamadhenu, which deliver unlimited quantities of milk. These cows constitute the wealth of Vrindavan. Thus, Vrindavan's opulence is blissfully exhibited.
So this way, Sarup Damodar Goswami explained the opulence of Vrindavan to Srivas Thakur. On hearing this description, Srivas Thakur, he began to dance in ecstasy, and when he was dancing, he was actually clapping the armpits like this, and he was laughing loudly or like this. Like that, or with the palms of his hands. And Mahaprabhu also started dancing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the description and he also began to dance. 231st verse. Rasa veshe prabhu ranritya swarupera gana bala bala bali prabhu pate nija kana.
While Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in ecstatic love and Swarup Damodar was singing, the Lord said, "Go on singing, go on singing." The Lord then extended his own ears.
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love was awakened by hearing the songs from Vrindavan, and then in this way he inundated the Jagannath Puri with love of Godhead. So it is explained that Mahaprabhu was dancing and dancing, all the devotees were dancing. But afternoon arrived, but all the devotees became very tired, but Mahaprabhu's ecstasy doubled. He simply went on dancing. So at that time, Mahaprabhu displayed the form of Srimati Radharani. And Nityananda Prabhu was watching from a distance. He could see this form of Srimati Radharani displayed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And seeing this form, actually, Nityananda Prabhu is the only person who could catch Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and stop the dancing. But because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstasy would not stop, but at the same time, devotees became so tired that like you can't continue the kirtan for a long time. Kirtan had to be stopped. But Nityananda Prabhu could not do anything. Nityananda Prabhu was just standing from a distance and he was just watching it. He was simply remaining silent. So at that time, Swarup Damodar Goswami went and informed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that all the devotees are tired, so please, we should stop the dancing. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to his external senses. Then he entered the garden along with the devotees, and after taking some rest, he took the afternoon bath, and then they took a nice variety of prasadam that has been offered to Jagannath. Then after the afternoon lunch, then after the evening bath, he again went to take darshan of Lord Jagannath. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed sporting at the Narendra Sarovar. The same program continued for the next 8 days. And then on the 9th day, Jagannath returned from Gundicha temple to the Neelachal Dwarka. So that is described as previously, 245th verse. Purvavata Kaila Prabhu Lana Bhaktagana Parama Anande Karena Nartana Kirtana.
As previously, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees chanted and danced with great pleasure.
So when they were dancing for the return Ratayatra, that time they saw that actually it's not mentioned that they participated in the Ritran Ratayatra. But what is being explained here is that when Jagannath was being carried to the Ratha, it is described that the silken ropes, they were getting broken. And then when the silken ropes got broken, when the Jagannath was placed onto those cotton pads, and those cotton pads, they also broke, and then the cotton actually started flying in the air. So then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that, he called the devotees from Kulina Gram who had come to actually take part in the Ratayatra festival. Some of the devotees from Kulina Gram are Ramananda Basu and Satyaraj Khan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave some orders to them. 249th verse. Yei patta dorira tumi hava yajamana prativatsara anibe dori kariya nirmana.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Ramanand Vasu and Satyaraj Khan to become the worshippers of these ropes and every year bring silken ropes from their village.
So especially Kulina Gram is famous for actually manufacturing silken ropes at that time. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that you must bring silken ropes and it must be stronger than these ropes. And then he showed those ropes which are actually broken. You must bring much stronger ropes. And then he said, these ropes are the abode of Lord Sesha, who is serving the Supreme Lord in 10 different forms. So Ramananda Rai and Satyaraj Khan, when they got this order of service from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they became highly pleased. And then every year thereafter, they would come with along other devotees and with great pleasure, they would bring silken rope. 254th verse. Tabe Jagannatha Yai Vasila Simhasane Mahaprabhu Gare Aila Lana Bhaktagane.
Thus Lord Jagannath returned to his temple and sat on his throne while Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to his residence with his devotees.
Ei Mata Bhaktagane Yatra Dekaila Bhaktagana Laya Vrindavana Keli Kaila.
Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed the Rath Yatra ceremony to his devotees and performed the Vrindavan pastimes with them.
Chaitanya Gosaira Lila Ananta Apara Sahasra Vadana Yara Nahipaya Para.
The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are unlimited and endless. Even Sahasravadan, Lord Shesha, cannot reach the limits of his pastimes.
Shri Rupa Raghunatha Padeyara Asha Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Dasa.
Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrit, following in their footsteps.
Could you go to the next chapter? Would you like to add anything in this chapter? Yes.
Hare Krishna. So this conversation between Srivas Thakur and Sarup Damodar, why it brought a great ecstasy to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because it is like the comparison between the grandeur of the Lord and the sweetness of his simplicity between the two. So just like when all the residents of Vrindavan in Kurukshetra met Krishna, Radharani was not happy hearing the tumultuous sounds of the rattling chariots and the Lord with all the, wearing all the kavacha and everything in his body. She was not happy. She wanted to take Lord back to Vrindavan. So this goes to show one very important lesson, that the Vrindavan Vasis, for them, seeing Krishna alone was not important, but Krishna in Vrindavan is important, because Mathura was not that far. If Vrindavan Vasis needed to go and see Krishna there, they can see. But they wanted to see Krishna in the background of Vrindavan, where the bumblebees were humming, there was Kadamba forest, Yamuna was flowing, and in this way, this is the setting of Vrindavan. And Lord in Vrindavan also is a covered boy, you know, wearing a peacock feather, playing flute and wearing a simple dhoti, playing with his friends like a covered boy. So Krishna's role in Vrindavan and the background of Vrindavan and the love of the Vrajavasis for Krishna and Krishna for Vrajavasis. So these are very essential aspects of Vrindavan Dham, due to which they felt that only if Krishna is brought back to Vrindavan that sweetness can be experienced. So that is why even if they were to see Krishna in Dwaraka or Mathura, they won't be happy even after seeing him eye to eye also. Because his stature is different, his duty is different, his looks are different, his activities are different there. So this clearly depicts the difference between Krishna's role in Mathura and Dwaraka and Krishna's role in Vrindavan. In the same manner, Lord Jagannath carries a Shankachakra Gada Padma Visena, Neelachale Shankachakra Gada Padma Dhar Visena. So, and in Sundarachal, when he comes, he is a covered boy, Vrindavan. So, in Jagannath Rathyatra, you will see when the Lord is brought, you know, they break the mukut. Many of the pandas only, they break the mukut before the Lord goes, you know, when he enters into the Gundicha temple. Yeah. Because they don't like to see him in the role of a big king. So, the sweetness and simplicity of Vrindavan is very much appreciated by the devotees. So, in this pastime, Lakshmi Devi asked a question that when she became angry with the servants of Jagannath, who took him out of Neelachal to Sundarachal, she asked them a challenging question that what is not available for him here? And then she actually made a declaration of the different opulences. What is the type of food that is being offered? Chappan Bhog is being offered for him. What is the type of dresses and the jewelry that are used for adorning the Lord, you know, every day? And what is the kind of adoration and praises and the shower of flowers that is offered to the Lord in Vaikuntha? So, giving a list of the opulences of Vaikuntha, she was trying to ask this challenging question. If there is some deficiency here, then going to another place is meaningful. What deficiency did he find here? So the servants of Jagannath could not speak out. They only told her that we will try to bring him back tonight. Back before tonight. Of course, the Lord spent many days. So this Lakshmi Sahangar was creating laughter in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because you remember one shloka we read in the previous class, one or two classes before, that Lakshmi could not give up her queenship to enter into the rasa dance, you know, in Vrindavan, like the gopis of Vrindavan. And Lakshmi could not adopt the services of the gopis, like taking the cow dung and making a cow dung patty, you know, and carrying buttermilk pot, by giving up her royal position and queenship in Vaikuntha. So, in this way, neither can she give up that position, nor does she like the Lord to leave that opulence and go to Vrindavan and lead a simple life. She also wants the Lord to have that opulence also. And this actually teaches us one practical lesson in our life. We also try to impose opulence on those who act as our master, because we become afraid that if my master is not sufficiently opulent, then I will not be able to respect him. So I remember one Vyaspuja of Parampuja Radhana Swami Maharaj. They made a very grand presentation of the Vyaspuja book, and our Naji Prabhu was coming like a army chief officer of the, you know, general of the army, and either side there were, you know, army. Like that, they made the sound. All the devotees were stunned. Everybody was watching. And from behind he came. And he came walking, carrying one, this kind of thing with a gun or a sword or something in the hand. And either side, two men also, they marched. It was a new style of presenting. So they went to the dais. And then they and I gave it to Maharaj, and Maharaj accepted it and did like this. That afternoon, there was a small gathering in Maharaj's room. Maharaj was telling me when you met him. Yeah. Maharaj said, what was that march past in the morning? You know, he asked, you know, for giving me my Vyas Puja book. And Shamanpu explained what it was. Yeah. Maharaj, they want to give you in a new fashion. Yeah. Maharaj said, they cannot expect me to, you know, take a very big kingly role. I am not a king. I am simply servant of the servants. You know? He was telling, you know, they want to see me very opulent, but I want to be simple. This is too much for me. You know, I cannot take it. Maharaj was telling, I just go and sit in the rock and Ganges and chant the holy name, and they make me a rock star. You know? The star who is sitting on the rock. You know? Similarly, I am just accepting this glorification of the devotees to pass it on to Krishna, and they are making it more difficult for me. And the next year, they made this Madan Mohan temple background. You know, and they made all this gobar and everything. They made it very simple. Basically, the idea was to please him. So he likes simplicity. He doesn't like grandeur. But they said many devotees want to see you in that grandeur, Maharaj, they were saying. So why we want to superimpose grandeur, grandness on our leaders also? Because, and that's what Brahma and Shiva also do. They want to see Vishnu to be very grand. And that's what Prabhupada says in Vaikuntha, Vishnu is more beautiful than Lakshmi also. In order to just please Brahma and Shiva and say that I am better than Lakshmi, don't worry. You know? But in Vrindavan, who is more beautiful? Radharani is more beautiful. And Krishna, Krishna is given second importance from a Leela point of view. Vrindavan. So, there is a very stark difference between Vaikuntha mood and Vrindavan mood. Now it is said one dust particle of Vrindavan cannot be compared with all the opulences of Vaikuntha and the material worlds put together, it is said. Now somebody may wonder, what is so great about one dust particle in Vrindavan? Every dust particle in Vrindavan is saturated with the sweet loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees in Vrindavan, which surpasses all the love in all the worlds. Because even though in Vaikuntha and Ayodhya, Dham and all, there is love for the Supreme Lord, the kind of intimate love in Vrindavan cannot be surpassed in any other abode. So, Prabhu was telling about 7-8 things. What makes Vrindavan special? What Swarup Damodar said, isn't it? Like everybody, nobody talks there, everybody sings there. Nobody walks there, everybody dances. And water is like honey. And Krishna's flute is a special attendant. You know, and also the Chintamani dust, everything is made. So every one of these, just like for example, the gopis are speaking about the glory of Krishna's flute. Isn't it? Elaborately, one full chapter they are speaking about it. Because the nature of the flute is an ordinary bamboo stick. You know, amongst all the musical instruments, flute is probably the simplest one. You just cut a bamboo tree and you make a hole and you play it. But touched by Krishna, the flute is able to madden the three worlds, he says. So, in this way, in Vrindavan, the intensity of love of devotees for Krishna and the intensity of Krishna's sweetness, which is maddening and attractive, is a central theme of Vrindavan, which makes every Chintamani dust particle carry that Vrindavan vibration. The breeze of Vrindavan, and the dust particle of Vrindavan, and the mood of Vrindavan. So these things are very special, and they surpass the grandness in Vaikuntha and the worship done in Vaikuntha, that type of... So, as devotees, if we don't learn to glorify and admire and adore the sweetness of simplicity, then when we see Krishna playing on his flute, a Shyam Sundar, standing with Shimitradharani in a simple fashion, we may not be able to develop a very deep reverence and appreciation as much as when there is a very gorgeous, you know, Brahmotsavam in Tirupati, you know. People say, Tirupati Brahmotsavam, 5 lakh people go to watch it, you know. Because the kind of grandeur with which it is done. So, greatness has its charm for many people, but the sweetness of Vrindavan surpasses everything. And that is why many people who are Brahmanas, especially Smartha Brahmanas, for them, if a lot of money is not spent in Lord's worship, it is difficult for them to accept. Like unless the mukut is 60 crore rupees, you know. Balaji's mukut is 60, 80 crore rupees actually. You know, that kind of. And temple also, the Srirangam temple is 300 feet high gopuram. I made also. So you will see that majority of the religious people and pious people and even those who may come to the path of Vaishnavism will be fascinated by grandness. You for example, people always talk about the greatness of a person. You've seen that? Always they say, you know, he is so busy, you know, that he has no time to meet anyone. You know, he flies from here to there and so many thousands of people came to meet him. And that kind of thing only people talk when they admire a person. People don't admire the simplicity of a person, and that requires actually mercy to appreciate Krishna's simplicity also in Vrindavan. And that is such a rare achievement that even Brahma and, you know, great personalities like Indra and Brahma can fail in achieving it. And Brahma misunderstood Krishna, Indra misunderstood Krishna, and Indra's misunderstanding of Krishna is due to Krishna's over-simplicity. And in the same manner, we can misunderstand our spiritual master because of his utter simplicity. So that is why sometimes Krishna shows that don't consider this person to be very simple. He may meet Barack Obama, or he may go to the Lords, in England, House of Lord Commons. Actually, he never made any special endeavors to go there. Some disciple had made some arrangements, so he went there. He goes and comes. Because after people appreciate the greatness, they may eventually come to sweetness after many years of understanding the sweetness of Vrindavan.
Thank you, bro. Nice story of Radhana Swami Maharaj and Vyas Puja. So we'll continue tomorrow. Mahaprabhu is accepting prasadam at Sarvam Bhattacharya's house. Granta, Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.
And he started dancing. Basically, he created that anti-mode to increase the ecstasy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Appeared in her very form, transformed.